And a big thank you to Ross Provost from Burning Eights for joining us as well. Always good talking with Ross. We'll be back next week with more Playmakers brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
What? I'm not understanding.
Having trouble getting your message across? Come visit us at Quality Plus Printing. We will design and print engaging materials that will help your customers learn more about your business, your team, or your event. We can help you with flyers, letterhead, forms of all types, business cards, posters, brochures, and so much more. We'll make you look wicked awesome. Let there be no doubt, at Quality Plus Printing, we'll get your words out.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
I'm Steve Kathan. News safety steps out today from the rail line, Norfolk Southern. CBS's Roxana Saberi says it's a direct result of the preliminary findings of the toxic Ohio freight train crash last month.
Most of the steps at Norfolk Southern is promising relate to overheating wheels and wheel bearings, which appeared to be the culprit in the East Palestine derailment, according to a preliminary NTSB report there. The railroad operator said today it wants to look at increasing the number of detectors it uses along the tracks to sense when a train's wheels are overheating and to consider placing them closer together.
A second Norfolk Southern derailment in Ohio over the weekend is under investigation. In that instance, officials say there were no toxic leaks and most of the cars were empty. The FBI is offering a $50,000 reward for the safe return of four Americans who are being held in Mexico. CBS's Christina Ruffini.
This happened Friday in Matamoros, Mexico. It's a border town that's only about a 12-minute drive from Brownsville, Texas. The FBI says the four Americans entered Mexico driving a white minivan with North Carolina license plates. Shortly after crossing the border, gunmen opened fire on the passengers in the vehicle.
Well, last night in Rochester, New York, one person died, nine others were hurt, two of them critically during a crowd crush after a rap concert. Mayor Malik Evans says it happened when false reports of gunfire surfaced.
When you go to a concert, you do not expect to be trampled. Your loved ones expect you to be able to come home.
More than 30 people arrested in the Atlanta area when authorities say a crowd protesting a planned police training ground threw rocks and Molotov cocktails. CBS's Skyler Henry.
The entire construction site was on lockdown overnight as police looked to calm the tensions happening. This is just the latest in a series of incidents that have happened. There are a series of protests and demonstrations calling for an end to the development of this cop city that's been the nickname here.
Parts of Kentucky still reeling from the severe storms that rolled through late last week. Some schools are closed today. Power lines are being repaired. In Lexington, Mayor Linda Gorton says
damage citywide is estimated in the millions of dollars.
In Southern California's snowy mountains, San Bernardino County Sheriff Shannon Dykus says getting roads clear to reach trapped residents is still a top priority.
We're having tractors come in and scoop the snow, having to drive it away, truck it out, and a number of other things, which makes the operation much slower.
Checking Wall Street right now, the Dow is up about 100 points. The S&P is up 29 points. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
What happens when your daddy issues move in? You get Unprisoned, the all-new Hulu original series, Unprisoned, starring Kerry Washington and Delroy Lindo. Imagine you're a single working mother who's dating and even about to buy a new house. Life is pretty good until your dad comes back to live with you after 17 years of being in prison. This could be a second chance to make it right. Right? Think you've got daddy issues? Well, hers are here to stay. Unprisoned, starring Kerry Washington and Delroy Lindo. Premieres Friday, March 10th, streaming only on Hulu.
The Venture X card from Capital One gives you premium travel benefits, perfect for seeing Taylor Swift the Eras Tour. Presented by Capital One. Ooh, I do love her. Earn 5x miles on flights and 10x miles on hotels through Capital One Travel.
Enjoy your stay in Suite 13.
Whoa, 13? That's Taylor's lucky number. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details. Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, March 7th. In Wood County, the Operations Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Room 114. The Highway Department is hosting a local roads forum for local officials at 9 a.m. at the Richfield Municipal Building in Marshfield. The Wisconsin Rapids Finance and Property Committee meeting will be held at 4 p.m. in the Council Chambers at City Hall. The Public Works Committee meeting will follow at 5 p.m. In Portage County, the Traffic Safety Commission will meet at 10 a.m. The Executive Operations Committee will meet at 5 p.m. and the Land and Water Conservation Committee meeting starts at 7 p.m. The Stevens Point Zoning Board of Appeals meeting begins at 6 p.m. The Village of Whiting will have their Utilities Committee meeting at 5 p.m. In Adams County, the Land and Water and UWEX Committee meeting scheduled from 1 to 2:30 p.m. has been canceled. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. High of 36 this afternoon under cloudy skies with a chance for mixed precipitation changing to all snow. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of snow showers tonight, lows level off around 23, overcast skies. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 40. A dusting of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
2023, we are live in Waukesha, ready to start a new week.
Yes.
Jane Matinair, how are you doing?
I'm great. Glad to see you.
Do you have a relaxing weekend? Are you ready for another week?
I am ready for another week. It was a relatively relaxing weekend, yes.
Good.
Yeah. You were busy.
We were pretty busy. We had the Shamrock Shuffle on Saturday, which is my husband's big event that if anyone who has lived in Milwaukee in the last 14 years might be familiar with, whether you partook or you just tried to avoid 10,000 people in green shirts on a bar crawl. And this was the first year that it was basically back to the full capacity that it was, because he snuck it in the beginning of March 2020.
Oh, no kidding.
And
just by a hair,
as far as, because it was always the first weekend of March. So it's like the first celebration in Milwaukee for St. Patrick's Day. And then we get a parade. We get actual St. Patrick's Day. You know, there's a lot of
celebrating.
For not being a quintessentially Irish town, it's a lot of celebrating for St. Patrick's Day in Milwaukee.
We embrace all parties.
It's something, probably something to do with the drinking. All right. So that was this weekend. Seemingly went off without a hitch, as far as we didn't have any calls from the police or anything like that, but it was truly between water, 3rd Street, Brady Street, Walker's Point. There was a lot of green shirts out. But also, I mean, it was a huge weekend. There was a Bucks game at the Fiserv.
Yeah.
There was a Marquette game at
Big
the Fiserv.
Game, yep.
So it was a busy, people made money on Saturday or spent money.
That's good.
One of the two. So it was good. But we're back with a full show. Very excited about it. So coming up on today's show, in the noon hour, did you know that there's 9 million voters that live abroad?
9 million?
I think so. At least that's the stat that is on the website for Democrats Abroad, which is an organization that helps and assists people who are still voting in the United States and are U.S. citizens who can vote, but living abroad. And so today we're going to be talking to Annie Grawl, who's on the Wisconsin State team for Democrats Abroad, to talk about some of the work that they do, kind of why it's so hard from their point of view to vote, even when you live abroad. And, you know, I think it's one of those things that for absentee voting by mail, that's only become so much part of the conversation since 2020 with the pandemic. But there's a lot of people who've been voting by mail, whether they're military or people who just live abroad.
Oh, yeah.
For a long time. So I think talking about what they would like to see changed to make that easier. And so that's coming up at noon. And then at 12:30, We're going to be talking to Jesse Apoyan and Scott Girard, who are, Jesse is the Capital Bureau Chief at the Cap Times, and Scott is the K-12 education reporter for the Cap Times. A month ago, the article's a little old now, but it gives really good context to the school funding debate where we find ourselves now. So the title of that is that what they published on February 1st in the Cap Times is "School Funding Hangs in the Balance of Wisconsin Budget Debate." And so they're going to be here because I think they did a really good job of laying out the different arguments, laying out how we got here as far as revenue caps and Act 10 and the debate about kind of expanding on the conversation we had with CJ Safer last Thursday. Mm-hmm. And the kind of combination between, you know, we've been behind because school funding hasn't been tied to inflation. And so there's not overnight just that even if, which probably won't happen, but even if Governor Evers got the budget that he's asking for, would that make up for the amount of loss that there's been over the last 12, 15 years? But then simultaneously, how much should that be tied to reform? Where does vouchers play in all this? And so as two reporters who come at this at a much more objective stance than advocacy policy people, yeah, who, because this is it's a heated issue. People,
yes, it is.
People get fired up about schools with good reason because it's important. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting their insight and kind of foundational understanding of what the debate is. And then in the last hour, have you heard of Bare Minimum Mondays, Jane?
I have not.
Well, we're going to talk about what they are. They may not be feasible for everyone, but maybe what we could take from this idea of a Bare Minimum Monday and apply to our life. Not everything's going to be applicable, but I'm excited to hear your thoughts because I have a prediction that you are going to audibly roll your eyes.
I never do that. What do you mean?
Oh, but to start off with the newsy hour is not news about Wisconsin, but kind of potentially what could have been in Wisconsin. We are one Republican governor away from being in a similar situation that it seems like Florida now finds themselves in.
Yep.
And to be fair, Florida voted overwhelmingly for Ron DeSantis in his last election. And so the question is, for the people who didn't vote for him and who are not on board with the sweeping changes that he is pushing through, which we will get to in a second. At what point do you move? Is my question. And I think Wisconsin saw some of that under Scott Walker for people who were very much against everything that he was doing. And so the bigger question that I want to ask the audience as we continue to talk about this is how much, whether you want to speak for yourself or in mass, how much do the politics of the place that you call home, you can be pissed off about it, but how much does it actually impact your decision to move entirely? And because, you know, Florida has seen, it's one of the fastest growing states right now,
which continually blows my mind.
You know, and it was funny because for the weekend, Mike's cousins were in town, or cousin and his wife, and they are traveling physical therapists. And so it's been great for them, right? They've gotten to see different parts of the country, but right now they're in like Palm Beach and they're from Wisconsin. Well, she's from Illinois. He's from Wisconsin. And I asked him, like, so he's like, it's so nice there. It's so nice. And I was like, well, is it beyond the weather? Is it like, is there other stuff that you find really appealing about it without the weather? And he goes, well, no, like in other, if you take a weather away, it's, you know, where they're at is like one of the highest.
It's a pretty wealthy area.
It's a really wealthy area. It's mostly retired people. It's very chill. But he was, you know, it's the weather for most people, right? And so I get that. I get there's no income tax, the weather, and like how much do you justify the politics if they're not your politics?
And if it doesn't affect you.
And if it doesn't affect you, you're fine. And so let me go through But my question, if you want to call in or you want to text in, kind of on this question of, I'm going to go through what the details are, but think about where's the line when the politics get so bad that you would think about moving.
I've had enough. Right?
Yeah. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. So, proposed Florida laws are about to get even further, go further to the right. So, their legislative session starts tomorrow, and GOP lawmakers in Florida have unveiled a suite of bills that are delighting conservatives.
I'm sure.
And worrying progressives, free speech groups, and civil rights leaders. And, you know, a lot of this, at least according to the New York Times article I found on this, is setting the stage for Ron DeSantis to have a platform to run on.
For
president in 2024.
So he'll be the, what, education reformer?
Well, it's more than just education. So the bills include, this is for the, and we'll go over some of the things he's already done, but the bills include a ban on gender studies majors and minors in higher education, open up media organizations to more libel lawsuits, create a universal school choice voucher program, and a concealed carry weapons bill that Floridians who do not have felony arrests or certain arrests related to substance abuse could carry a firearm without the current permit requirement.
So,
and
I've just got to stop you for substance abuse, yes, but domestic violence, no.
Doesn't sound like it.
Okay.
Yeah. And the state now, I mean, just to go a little bit further on that one, the state now requires anyone seeking a permit to undergo background checks, fingerprinting, and training course, and to fire a gun in front of an instructor. But this would
get rid of all that.
Get rid of all that.
Why would you want that?
And, you know, this is on top of the Don't Say Gay bill. This is on top of the 2022 budget provision that allowed him to spend $12 million to transport migrants out of Florida. He's requested another $12 million to do the same. There's now 31 million and 27 new positions for the state's Office of Election Crimes and Security, which was created last year to investigate election fraud. And with that $31 million, there has been 20 arrests since in August.
20.
There's been 20, but shortly after judges dropped charges on most of them. And so we can get a little bit further into the frustration that these bills, and a little bit more detail that the bills that they're proposing and likely are going to be greenlit easily.
Pretty easily. Oh, yeah.
But I think it comes back to, does this dissuade anyone? Obviously, it attracts some people. Some people, there's obviously a base who is for all of these things.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's the majority. Even if, you know, in a binary choice between Republican, Democrat, there are a lot of moderates in there who, for whatever reason, choose a Republican, but they're not all in on this kind of conservative agenda, right? And so for others, like, at what point does it change your mind about whether or not you're going to live there? All right, we'll be back in a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
I'm Tumani. When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things. I committed some crimes and even got shot.
but I'm not a criminal.
That's right. I'm Jamal. I work for Youth Advocate Programs. Yeah, I was Tamani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, get a job, and work hard to see a better future for himself. If you have a change of mindset, you can have a change of action.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
No, she's a good student and a great kid. As Jalen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her. With the Youth Advocate Programs, I was able to connect with Jalen.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. After completing our program, 86% of participants were arrest-free. YAP works.
And now, I'm a YAP advocate, helping kids like me find a better way.
Youth Advocate Programs. Others talk social change. We make it happen. Learn how at yapinc.org.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. And if there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. We are here on this Monday asking the question, how, for the average person, and maybe not even for the average person, but how bad do things have to get in your point of view before you're like, I can't live here anymore?
See, and I think what makes Florida unique, though, is the number of retirees who go there.
Mm-hmm.
Again, because of no income tax and the weather and not having to shovel. And I don't know that they care about education because they're old.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many of these other, reproductive rights, probably not too concerned about that. You're over 60.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of my point as far as who's affected. How much does it take till it affects you to say, because sometimes even when it does affect you, obviously moving is not easy.
And it's expensive.
And leaving your friends and family, if you're from that place, is not easy. And so it comes back to, it's up to you to elect the people that you want to elect and representational government and everything like that. But I just think I remember asking a girlfriend of mine who lives in Houston. And this was October 2021, and they had just passed their six-week abortion civil lawsuit. You can sue anyone who potentially helps someone get an abortion law. And she's my age. At that point, she had just had her second kid. Married, kids, job, very... And I would say is aware of the news, watches the news, doesn't work in the news or in politics in the way that I do.
She keeps up on it though.
Yeah, and certainly more left than her husband's a little bit more right. She's a little more left. And we were on a walk because we were on like a girls' trip or something. And I asked her, "What is it like to?" Because it was everywhere in the news, right? That was a huge deal when that first happened. Not only just because of reproductive freedom. But it was also the nature of that bill was wild as far as anyone, it's just putting a bounty on people, right? And so to me, it was such a big deal. So many people were talking about it. And I asked her, I was like, what is it like to live there right now? Does it feel any different? Are people talking about it in your life?
Right.
And like, no.
No.
Not really. That's kind of what she said. It's just the reality of her world is she's not a young person who's going to get pregnant. She's kind of consumed with her routine and her kids and her job, and she can disagree with it, but it doesn't change anything.
Right.
And it just makes me think when we, as progressives, as left people, and it goes both ways. I'm sure there's people want to rip their hair out. I'm sure conservatives, when they look at things in California or Massachusetts or Connecticut, are like, oh my God. But the point of which for some of these, I mean, so for some of these programs, like the higher education bill, where they're limiting what you can major in, and the after effects of that is, will less people choose Florida schools?
And what about the value of Florida schools?
Totally.
Is that going to, you know, lessen their stature? Why do I want to go to a university that limits what I can learn?
Totally. But even the defamation bill for Florida media outlets and how much more vulnerable it makes them to do reporting based on their ability to get sued. The voucher. It's interesting because, like, we obviously have the voucher debate here. And at least in, I mean, what's interesting there, though, is that not only is it money to go. So this is the interesting thing for their voucher bill. Critics obviously are saying it would defund public schools to a dangerous extent, but it would make vouchers that are currently worth about $8,200 a year to K through 12 students with few eligibility restrictions. So you laughed at your money going to private
religious schools.
So it would not only be able to be used on private and religious schools, but also for homeschooling,
what,
private tutoring, and other education related expenses.
Wait. For homeschooling?
Yeah.
That's absurd.
So, like, I think about that, and it's the 20-year view of what does this do to our education system and, like, our, like, educated populace. And also concealed carry is scary for some people, right? And so some of these obviously impact a bigger proportion of the population than others, but it just... That's kind of when I read this, because obviously right now, for at least the next 4 years, we have a veto pen with Governor Evers, and like a lot of the more extreme stuff is not going to happen here. But it does bring up the question as far as, do most people just not think about this and it just is what it is and you can vote and maybe move to an area in your state that feels a little bit more aligned with your politics, but beyond that, does it ever get so bad that you're motivated to actually leave the state?
Well, I think for parents of children, and certainly parents of queer kids and trans kids, they have a big incentive to get out of there.
I know.
They do.
I know. And the question is, like, can they?
Can you afford it?
Can you afford it? And, like, where do you go? Because, I mean, especially once you're in, like, in that case, you have to move pretty far. Like, if you're in the South and you're trying to escape in any of the reproductive rights bans and laws, or some of these like anti-trans, anti-LGBTQ laws that are coming down the pipe, like you got to move pretty far. It's not just like the state over anymore.
Right.
And so I don't know, but that was what was on my mind this Monday morning. When we come back, a masterclass and the GOAT that is Jon Stewart. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The energy call today was huge. John Bishop is waving to the crowd. All the rules of the gospel talk today. I think that you need to find me. We'll have to wait and see. I'll call you back later.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in 1,000 pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council. If you talk,
they will hear you. We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy, so we show them how. And we tell them, with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. So talk, they hear you. You
can do it if you try. From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Kids and parents gathered at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center in Wisconsin Rapids for the Paint with the Police event. Wood County Sheriff's Department officers painted with the kids in full uniform and had live musical entertainment. These young kids were able to interact with officers and get to know them as real people who serve and protect our city. The race for Wisconsin Supreme Court is already the most expensive in U.S. history, at close to $19 million and counting. That includes the money raised by the campaigns themselves and outside groups.
It's the world that we live in, quite frankly. Ever since the Citizens United case, you know, was decided by the United States Supreme Court, you know, outside money can come into these races.
That's Janet Protasewicz, recently on Capital City Sunday. Her opponent, Dan Kelly, says money gets the candidate's message out. In sports, the Badgers beat Minnesota last night. The Bucks beat Washington. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. High of 36 this afternoon under cloudy skies with a chance for mixed precipitation changing to all snow. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of snow showers tonight, lows level off around 23, overcast skies. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 40. A dusting of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
The goat.
Isn't he?
Gosh.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked a little bit last week about Hasan Minhaj and how great of a job he did last week on a variety of different topics, because he really stuck it. Who's the bald guy from Shark Tank? Kevin something. I forgot what his name is, but they had, he gives like financial advice. And like Hasan, like, kind of gave it to him. It was like, you know, when you're talking about people's wallets and the individual situations that they're in, like, you got to be careful. And it was just, it was interesting of like how, I mean, especially now as someone who interviews people and is also innately a people pleaser. And the ability, it's one thing to be able to debate like this, but also just take it to someone that hard. And so basically what had happened was, so I would say, I don't know the numbers of how many people are watching Jon Stewart's new show. It's called The Problem with Jon Stewart. It's a podcast. It's also a show on Apple TV. It is been criticized because it's not as, it's certainly not as funny as The Daily Show.
No, it's not. But I think that's by design.
Yes. And I would say, while it's funny because it's still Jon Stewart calling BS and his quick wit and his quick analogies that make it breaks it down for you. But it is much more serious in nature. And it taps in, I think, much more to his activist side than his comedian side.
Yep.
And he had clips last year that went viral with the attorney general from Arkansas and how he kind of cornered her into basically admitting that she didn't know what she was talking about when it came to medical, what the medical, all of the medical boards say when it comes to trans youth and
the best
care,
way to treat them
and the care that they should be getting. And she kind of, she really showed her butt. And so you'd think as a staffer who's aware of the media, you maybe wouldn't serve your state senator up on a platter to be interviewed by Jon Stewart, right? Like, this is kind of goes back to Better Know a District. This was on the Stephen Colbert Show.
Oh, yes.
When unknowingly, you know, congressmen from across the country would go on the Colbert Report and be interviewed by him and just be embarrassed.
without realizing it.
Without realizing it. And then I think people started to catch on, and I don't know how many they got out of before people were like, yeah, this is, we're probably not going to come out of this looking good.
Let's not do this interview.
But on Friday, an episode of The Problem, I think it was the first episode of this season, and he grilled a pro-gun, anti-drag show Oklahoma State Senator Nathan Dom, who wants existing controls loosened. This is in Oklahoma, so yeah. You can probably imagine what the gun laws are in Oklahoma.
Pretty loose already.
To encourage increased gun ownership. So we broke this down, and we're going to take it clip by clip. We couldn't even, I highly encourage you to go watch the whole thing. It's already been viewed over almost 9 million times.
It's really, really well done.
So we'll just start with, they talked about the number of guns in the U.S.
You're saying more guns makes us more safe.
Yes.
So when we got 400 million guns in the country, we had an increase and gun deaths went up. So when exactly does this curve hit that takes it down? Would a billion guns do it?
Let's just run those numbers. You know, 400 million, 50,000.
Uh-huh.
You're talking about a less than a fraction of not even a percent, of a hundredth of a percent.
But it goes up, not down. So your argument is backwards.
But if you want, okay, so let's come up with a solution. Okay, so one of the issues, a contributing factor, again, I believe it's the individual that is the problem.
So your solution to that is give them more guns.
Ha.
So it's the individual.
That's the problem.
Not the gun.
Not the weapon.
Let's focus on the individual. So what do we need to do to focus on the individual?
Because people are the problem, we need to look at the problems that those people are facing and how do we address it.
For instance, you've removed the ability for the state to do that.
No, because you're...
If you don't have background checks, mm-hmm. and you don't have registration and permitting, how do you know who has a problem in terms of the people who you're giving a gun to? What you're doing is you're bringing chaos to order.
That's your subjective opinion, that it's bringing chaos to order.
It's not my subjective opinion. We have 50,000 gun-related deaths. That's not a subjective opinion.
Okay, so
that's dead people.
He does that a couple times throughout this. The state senator does. It's like, that's your opinion. And it's like, no, those are numbers.
Those are factual numbers, yes.
And so then he points out another major cause of death in the U.S.
If we're going to talk about protecting lives, that's a larger issue in America than guns is. If we're talking about individual lives of ways that they can be protected, loss of life in America, there's loss of life through fentanyl. There's loss of life through obesity. The obesity crisis in America costs six times the number of lives as guns.
Right. And you're the guy saying, you know what would help this? Ice cream.
No. So, you know what would help the problem that we're facing with firearms?
What?
The fatherlessness crisis that we have in America.
What? Oh, Like, and I, this is where, because I've heard this argument before at another place that we've worked.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is the parents. No one knows how to parent. How are you going to legislate better parenting? You know, lock people up if they get divorced? You know, like, lock people up when they get locked up because they can't be there anymore? Like, you can point to this, like, vague thing as far as, you know, parents, like, having two parents in the house and all of these different things. But what do you do to fix that? You're going to force people to not get divorced? Like, what are you talking about as far as that being an avenue? If you're saying that that's a cause, fine. One, I don't believe you. But two, how do you fix that then? Anyways, so he goes on to keep talking about fatherlessness.
This is State Senator Nathan Dom, who is from Oklahoma, talking to Jon Stewart Friday night on The Problem with Jon Stewart on Apple Plus.
If you look at the statistics.
Right. Yeah, they're dying from gun deaths.
80%
yeah.
of school shooters
uh-huh.
either came from a broken or fatherless home.
Uh-huh. So you would say no guns for fatherless homes?
No, that's not what I would say.
Oh.
I would say that fathers need to be more engaged.
Great. So let's
crime
let's
with a firearm
more,
if they don't have a father in the home.
Let's put more resources into areas that are poverty stricken. All for it.
And into fatherlessness. And that's something that we're doing.
But why with guns are you against bringing order?
I'm not against bringing order.
You are. You're also making it less safe.
I would love to know more about his measures to increase fathers' involvement with their children and how again, as you said, how you legislate that.
Like, how do you legislate better parenting? I mean, that's a real question, right? Because I've heard conservatives make this argument as far as it being, you know, the stain on the fabric of our society is parenting. But okay, how do you moderate? I mean, how do you legislate that at all?
One would almost think that it would require some punitive measures against men.
That's a different conversation, but. Okay, so then we move on to, this is why, like, you have to watch the whole thing, because we're kind of breaking it up just to take it, like, the best pieces for us, I think, bringing it out. But, so then we're talking about, because his whole argument is that more guns, his being the state senator, more guns means things are safer.
Yes, more guns are better.
So then how does that relate to police when they're approaching a suspect or a home that could have guns in it?
When the police go to a domestic call, it's the most dangerous call they can go on.
Mm-hmm.
In your world, if they knew that there were firearms in the house, that's a safer call. Is that what you're saying?
No, because police...
Because why?
Because police treat every situation as a potential...
But more guns makes us safer. So why don't, when the police go to a house filled with guns, why don't they breathe a sigh of relief knowing that this Second Amendment that shall not be infringed is being exercised so fruitfully? What the police say, if we had gun registration, if we were able to track purchases, they have a technology that every bullet would be stamped with an individual like a fingerprint. If we had an ATF that wasn't defunded, we would be able to enforce gun laws more effectively, and we would be able to solve gun crimes more effectively. You're against all of that.
Because the person is the threat, not the firearm, not the knife.
I get it.
The person, the individual,
great,
is the one that is the concern,
great,
here.
But you don't want anything that could help law enforcement or society determine whether or not a person is a good guy with a gun or a bad guy with a gun.
Most,
the
even law
enforcement. The registry would allow you to have much more effective background checks.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand why you won't just admit that you are making it harder for police to manage the streets by allowing all of these guns to go out without permits, without checks, and without background stuff. Why is that hard? Why can't you just stand by that?
Because that's not what I'm doing. I'm defending the individual's right to keep and bear arms.
That's a different argument.
Yes, again, this is a state senator, Nathan Dom from Oklahoma, who says, you know, he is a strict constitutionalist and a Second Amendment purist.
And it's interesting to watch this debate happen, because Jon Stewart's also clearly not changing his mind. Right.
Right.
And I think this goes back to even last week when we were talking about how do you talk to people where you just fundamentally like can't get on the same page? Because even though we watch this, or many of us watch this and be like, Jon Stewart schooled this guy. And, you know, 8-9 million people have watched this already. I don't think State Senator Dom left that conversation rethinking his stances on these things, right?
Not at all. And probably just feels he was reinforced.
Yeah. Or he was a gotcha moment, or he was lied to as far as what this conversation was going to be. Who knows? But anyways, this was to me, because we're getting into so many of these states that the hypocrisy around we're not going to protect kids from guns, but we are going to protect kids from drag shows is happening. So Jon Stewart takes a turn and talks about what rights can't be infringed on, mainly being, you know, the Second Amendment versus free speech, and brings the trans issue into this.
You want to ban drag show readings to children?
To my eyes, yes.
Why?
Why can we prohibit children from voting, those under 18 from voting?
Why are you banning that? Is that free speech? Are you infringing on that performer's free speech?
They can continue to exercise their free speech, just not in front of a child.
Why?
Because the government does have a responsibility to protect.
I'm sorry?
The government does have a responsibility in certain instances.
What's the leading cause of death amongst children in this country? And I'm going to give you a hint. It's not drag show readings to children.
Correct, yes.
So what is it?
I'm presuming you're going to say it's firearms.
No, I'm not going to say it like it's an opinion. That's what it is. It's firearms. More than cancer, more than car accidents. And what you're telling me is you don't mind infringing free speech to protect children from this amorphous thing that you think of. But when it comes to children that have died, you don't give a flying to stop that, because that shall not be infringed. That is hypocrisy at its highest order.
Yeah, it's really, highly recommend it. And it's all over Twitter. I know if you don't have Apple Plus and, you know, not a subscriber, you should be able to catch it on somebody's Twitter feed.
It's so good. And one part that we didn't include that to me, because I've made the argument, it's like, all right, you register your car, you have to get a license to drive a car. Why shouldn't you have to get one to another? Because a car can be, as we know very much so in Wisconsin, can be a deadly weapon.
Absolutely.
And used as a weapon. And yet a actual weapon that is made to be a weapon, some people don't want it to be registered. But what he made even more simply, the argument is it a right to be able to vote? And of course, the state senator had to say yes, with certain limitations, whatever, felony,
right.
Being 18. What do you have to do to be able to vote? And he listed off a couple things, and you could see, and you have to register. We'll put this in today's show notes. It's so good. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Party at the station. Ain't that news, man?
What's that smell? You smell that? I hear that same thing every day. I'm Crust Buster Crockett, and I can tell you, I sure do smell that. That there's the sweet smell of cherry pie. That's the only thing you smell when Crockett's septic pumper trucks come a-rolling down the road to pump your septic and holding tanks. Hoo-wee! They sure do a good job keeping your system clean, and Crockett Septic can also take care of your porta-potty rentals, too. Just give them a call, 715-712-3456. Tell them Crust Buster Crockett sent you.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pump right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their pumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
Yeehaw! Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR.
United Way of Southwood in Adams Counties invites all women to join us for the 12th annual Power of the Purse, Tuesday, March 14th at Bullseye Golf Club from 5 to 7:30 p.m. Power of the Purse is a fundraiser to support early grade literacy hosted by Women United. There will be a purse silent auction, raffles, online auction, and great food. All thanks to our diamond sponsors, Lion Energy, Aspirus Health, Connexus Cares, Ginzel Insurance Agency, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Paul Gross Jewelers, Prevail Bank, Walker Cranberry, and Williams Plumbing and Heating. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit uwswac.org or call 715-4255.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
From Big Bend to Menominee Falls, always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
If you're looking at a globe or a map of the world, and you want to understand it, you got to know these hemispheres, north and south poles, equator, oceans, continents, and lots and lots of countries. The real world is round and shaped like the spheres.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matner. What song was that, Jane?
That is the geography song, Kristen Bry.
It's just called the geography song?
It's called the geography song.
All right. Well,
there's a reason for
this. There is a reason, as always, with Jane's music. There is always a reason and an Easter egg and a point behind the special songs that she finds. And today's is because, you know, I think by now we all know that champagne is not champagne if it does not come from the French region of Champagne.
Exactamundo, yes.
It's Prosecco, it's sparkling wine, it is something besides champagne. And I used to be friends with someone who was French. I mean, he's still French, but his dad is like the lawyer for Champagne, France.
Seriously.
And they filed a lawsuit against Apple because at one point when one of the iPhones came out and it was a champagne color, they sued Apple so they couldn't even call it champagne. They won. They changed it to rose gold.
What?
Yes. So like Champagne France takes their trademark very, very seriously.
My goodness.
But turns out Gruyere cheese will not get that same special privilege. And so this is out of, I think, Virginia. And Gruyere can now be used as a label for cheese, even if it was made outside of the Gruyere region of Switzerland and France, a U.S. appeals court ruled.
Jeez. So they did sue.
They did sue. So it was a suit that was filed and rejected, or a claim that was rejected by two groups representing cheese producers from Switzerland and France for a mark that would restrict the use of Gruyere to cheese from Gruyere itself. And so the U.S. Patent Court of Appeals, Virginia-based 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled on Friday that cheese made in the U.S., Netherlands, Germany, Austria can all also call themselves Gruyere.
Bad news, Switzerland.
And so this, where my mind went with this, which is maybe a little bit of a stretch, was, can Colby cheese only come from Colby, Wisconsin?
If you asked Colby, Wisconsin, they would probably say yes.
And then that immediately made me think about how every couple years, the representative, whoever's representing Colby, Wisconsin, makes an argument that Colby should be the official state cheese of Wisconsin, and then it inevitably always fails. Like, even if it gets out of committee, there's still people who are like, yeah, no, we're not picking one cheese to be the state cheese. And then it, like, the debate eventually comes up across all media outlets that are constantly looking for something to talk about. We're like, oh, here's a quintessential Wisconsin debate. What is our, if there were a state cheese, what would it be? And I guess we're going to do that right now, because I would say cheddar.
I would also go with cheddar, but I would also say we welcome all cheeses.
We do welcome all cheeses. And actually, the cheese we make the most of is mozzarella.
Which I have to say is like the least of cheeses.
You don't like mozzarella cheese?
It doesn't taste like anything.
What about like fresh mozzarella, not the shredded kind that goes on pizza, like the actual like mozzarella ball? So yeah. You don't like a caprese salad?
No.
Really?
It's tasteless.
Oh, but the texture is so nice.
It's a big squishy ball of nothing. But I would go with
Really disagree on this.
That's fine. Oh no! Fight. extra sharp cheddar is the way to go.
I also vary, but that's what the extra sharp cheddar is also what I associate when I think of Wisconsin. And I don't know. I mean, or a cheese curd, but that's I guess that is a type of cheese, but it's also the form that it comes in that's very
well it's the form specific. It's, yes exactly
but I thought this was fun too if you can there's other foods that have place-based names
okay
and let's see if you can guess and everyone at home can play along but if you can guess the country that the name originates from
all right
so
I'm ready.
Black Forest ham.
That's Germany.
Okay. Lima beans.
Peru.
Sriracha sauce.
India.
Okay. I'm scrolling down to make sure I have all the answers. Cheddar cheese.
The U.S.
Fig Newton.
Greece.
Habanero pepper.
Mexico.
You were close. So you actually did pretty well. So one is Germany. Black Forest ham.
Okay.
Two is Peru with lima beans. Mm-hmm. Sriracha is Thailand.
Oh, I did not know that.
Cheddar cheese, England.
Really?
I guess there's a place called Cheddar, England? Ask Paul.
I will.
That one surprised me.
I'm surprised by that. I don't necessarily associate England with great cheese.
Yeah, me either.
Although they do have lots, they have lots of cows.
United States is for Fig Newton. It was named after Newton, Massachusetts.
Oh.
I haven't had a Fig Newton in a really long time.
It's because they're bad cookies.
Man, you're really downing on a lot of things that I like this morning. Jeez, don't yuck my yum.
don't what?
Don't yuck my yum.
Got it.
And then the last one, the habanero pepper, is Cuba.
Oh, Cuba, not Mexico.
Not Mexico.
All right.
So there you go. So check twice. If you really are a stickler to your Gruyere cheese coming from the Gruyere region of Switzerland and France.
Cheese snobs.
You're gonna have to start double checking and not just trusting that it's from there because anyone can call their cheese Gruyere. Going forward, it does not have to be from a specific place.
Nope.
And so
no standards anymore.
Do you like Gruyere cheese?
I do.
All right. One thing you like.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that will about do it for our first hour of today's show. When we come back, Annie Grahl is going to be here from Democrats Abroad, which, like we said earlier, is a organization that helps people living abroad who identify as Democrats, who are still voting in the U.S., get information and advocate for them as far as trying to get out the vote. And make voting potentially easier for them. And so we are going to be talking to Annie when we come back. And then at 12:30, we're talking to Jesse O'Poyan and Scott Girard about the foundational level of the education funding debate that we are embarking on, what the arguments are, what the negotiating chips could be. So that's coming up at 12:30. But for now, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
In the continents, it's divided again into many different countries, also called nations.
How many countries have you ever wondered? Count them all up. It's almost 200. Almost 200 countries.
Sing it one more time.
If you're looking at a globe or a map of the world, and you want to understand it, you gotta know these.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it.
I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible miss.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by
Stop Radio. Surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.